Father, we thank you again for this day and for the songs and, dear Father, the chance to come together to worship you. And this is a special night as we set aside for the purpose of remembering and for communion. And dear Father, we pray somehow or another that our hearts would be drawn together in a way as we worship you and adore you and remember where you brought us from and what it cost our Heavenly Father, what it cost our Savior, and what it even costs the Holy Spirit to live in these frail bodies today that have been born into the family of God. Dear Lord, we're living in a fast-paced world. It's so easy because of how fast we move in this world to let some things about God slide. And this is the time we set aside to remember. May we never forget where you brought us from, what you did for us, and how we should be while we're here as ambassadors to represent your kingdom. Until we get home, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Tonight, for those who are visiting, we're so glad to have you, but tonight our service is mainly is for communion. We're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and make a few comments. And if you're here tonight and you know that you're saved, if you don't know you're saved, then the table is not for you. But if you know you're saved, we believe and we open our service as open communion. We do that in our day because we believe our culture is a fast-moving culture. We also believe that it's a way that it's a very mobile society, and people do travel a lot, and this is something that God did say do. So if you know Christ, you're a brother and sister in the Lord, and this is for God's family, even though it's in the local church, and you're welcome to have communion with us here tonight if you know that you're saved. Now, when I approach these verses, I realize the Apostle Paul is repeating something that Jesus told to do 26 years before he wrote this. And he talks about what Jesus did in Matthew 26, 26. And he tells us that we're to do it as a body of believers. And as often as you do it, we recognize some things about the Lord. Before I read this tonight, though, I want to just say this comment. If you can visualize in your mind anything at all, visualize this. There is coming a day, sometime in the near future, that we won't meet like we're meeting here. We're going to meet on the other side after the rapture. Amen. And right after the rapture, while chaos is going on in this earth in the tribulation period, and Satan is running this course for God to allow Satan to do what he does to fix this world, to bring this world to a place for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. As he runs his course, which is his last running on this earth, God's people are going to be in heaven. And in Revelation 19, we see that we're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, in the absence of the Lord, God has given the head of the church and the bishop or pastor the instructions to lead in this thing we're doing tonight. But in the absence of the Lord, we just feel this place. When we get on the other side, Jesus himself will be heading the table. Wow, what a wonderful thought. Jesus himself, who we've not seen with the physical eyes of yet, but we've seen him through eyes of faith. And he's real. He's alive and he's well. And we see him in death. We see him in his word as he explains himself. We see him in God's word as he explains to us about his Savior and what he's doing and what he'll do through our hearts if we'll submit to him. What a joy it is to know one of these days you won't be looking at a frail human being like I am trying to head up and a deacon's walking around here trying to get the juice and all out. We're going to be looking at Jesus himself. Now, I don't know who's going to pass out the bread and the communion at the marriage supper of the Lamb, but I'll tell you this, you'll be surprised, I believe. Maybe angels. I don't know. It may be some others that serve the table. But I know this, the bride of Christ is going to be sitting at the table. That's what communion is for. God gave it to the church for the purpose to realize in these last days, he knew that we were going to live in a fast lane. He knew even we who have been saved, I mean, say 51 years, you get tired of hearing that. I don't get tired of telling you. You shouldn't get tired of telling people either. You've been saved 10, 12, 15, 30, 40 years, don't get tired of telling that. It's good to know that some people can get saved and stay saved. Amen? Come on, amen now. Now, what I'm saying is this. One of these days when we get on the other side and we see what's going on, then there's a sad part in my heart when I say that. Because you and your family and we as a family in the church, we're going to be sitting at the table. God has guaranteed that. He's already gave us the upfront payment. He's gave us the user up front by giving us the Holy Spirit of God. The down payment has been proven to us by giving us the Holy Spirit of God. And we're going to be delivered one day. Just as sure as He saved you when you trust Christ, just as sure as He gave you the Holy Spirit the day you were born again, you can be sure that you're going to be there one day, because it's God who tells us how to get saved, tells us what is done and what He's going to do and where we're going to be at through eyes of faith. So we're going to be sitting there one day, and we're going to see the wonderful Savior. And when I think about that, I think about this. What a joy, even though I know in that day my family will be no different than any other families, because we're all family of God. When we're born into the family of God, we're brothers and sisters. Sometimes we get in the fleshly time, we think, well, if my wife and children are there and my family, mother is there, that I love them more. No, I'd be glad they're there, just I'd be glad like anybody else is there. And they'll be glad that I'm there. There is no ties earthly-wise when we get to heaven. You've got a glorified body. Now, we love our loved ones here, and that's good, because that gives them motivation to try to get a loved one saved so they'll be there. But ladies and gentlemen, the thing about it is, when we get there, we will love those in Africa. We'll love those in Europe. We'll love every child of God equally, because we have perfect love. That's what God gives us. We're rejoiced not only because our family is there, but because the whole family is there. It's made up of the redeemed of the earth that while we were here. But then again, I think sometimes, and I can't help it, I don't know how it's going to be. Maybe we won't think about it. But now it seems like it would hurt my heart if one of my loved ones was not there at the table. And I'm glad God lets that happen. Because what that does is make me work hard to try to get them saved while I'm here. When I get there, I don't know how it'll work. But right now, I remember one time we had a communion in the other building. We set up tables. And we had families. Some of you remember this. We had families that come. And every family who had a loved one won't save. We put a chair at the table and we turn it up, lean it up against the table, and it'd be empty. And we had people sitting around with a loved one taking communion, and we're talking about taking it to heaven one day. And every chair that was turned up was somebody in that family that wouldn't be there because they were not saved. I will never forget. It made a moving thing on us. We were smaller then than we are now. But did you know, ladies and gentlemen, anybody you've got who's not saved in your family is not going to be there unless they get saved. They're just not going to do it. There's going to be an empty place there if how God works that out. But I'm so glad to know also that the glorified body is not going to be like this body. I'm not going to be worrying over things there in a glorified body like I would be in a body of flesh. So the Lord Himself will be there. Can you imagine the singing? Can you imagine the Shekinah glory of God vibrating through the universe as we meet with Him in that new Jerusalem? Can you imagine Jesus Christ as the groom taking this multitude of people who are the bride, been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father taking His, the groom is taking His bride to present to His Heavenly Father, who is our Heavenly Father, and He introduces us to that wonderful God and marvelous God that created what we have here around us and in space and in this universe. He's going to introduce us to His Heavenly Father. You talking about pomp. There's nothing in this world ever happened like it's going to be over there. You talking about joy. You talking about glory. You talking about happiness. You talking about shouting praise. God, there's no way in this world can you think about it without doing something to you. If you do think about it, don't. You may not be saved. I'm telling you, folks, there's a glorious day coming like we've never seen before. And now tonight, the Lord has said, well, while you're here, while you're still in time, you remember, you do this. He started in an upper room with the disciples. Even Judas was there. And of course, Judas left. And now we have 26 years later, and Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. Interesting, this is the church that he gave what the Lord said about communion. And here's what he said, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Now, interesting. I love this, but Paul is saying, what I've done here, what I have received from the Lord, maybe he got what this info. He wasn't there when they took the communion in Matthew 26:26. But when he was out some long period of time, 3 years, and kind of out in the wilderness, like learning, somehow God revealed to him this. And when he wrote to the church of Corinth needed this because they were practicing things that should not be practiced. They were talking about the Lord's Supper, and they had big meals and all kinds of routine things going on, and it was taken completely out of context of what they were doing, and they won't remember anything, just enjoying a feast. And so Paul, Holy Spirit moved Paul to write to them, and he said, I deliver you that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And then he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Every time I read that, I think about those who don't understand it. A bunch of Christians get together and take a piece of bread and claim it's the Lord's body. See, they only see a cracker or whatever it is that we partake of. By the way, that's all we see too. And that's all we eat when we eat it as far as the consumption of the body. But it means a whole lot more than just a cracker. It represents the body of Christ. If you can visualize in your mind as you chew the cracker, and you chew it, and it goes into the little pieces, the body of Christ would brutalize. And that's what God gave us, to remember what he went through with when he ended up being crucified and had to pay the sin debt for you and I. And then after the same manner, he said, verse 25, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, the cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Now, a lot of folks do it every week. We don't. Some people do it 3 or 4 times a year. We try to do it the 5th Sunday. He didn't tell us how many times to do it, but he said as often as you did it, this is what should be done. And we do it enough, I think. I'll tell you, I don't want it to become routine. I believe any church that does it every week, it's a routine thing, has no meaning whatsoever. You get in a rut. You just do it. You say, well, it's an act towards God. It may be, but it has no meaning. But I believe when we do it, we again are refreshed in our mind what God has done. And every one of us can go back to the day we got saved and look at that circumstance. I can't see your circumstance. You can't see mine. God sees it all. But he sees the day that you get saved. And when you go back and remember how you got saved, and then you begin to realize, more so than what you really realize, what God has done for you as an individual. It's easy to forget. We get very busy. But he says, as often as you eat this bread, no matter how often you do it, and you drink the cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. In other words, he said, you don't mock me. You may try to, but if you mock me, I'll tell you, I'm in charge. I'm the authority. But I want to tell you that if you do it right, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. You know what the examination does? It examines you to see there was a time that you knew that you trust Christ. It's a time that you were birthed when you said you called upon the Lord to have mercy upon me. There's a time that you knew you was washed in the blood of the Lamb. And even though there might have been some time slipped or forget, you remind and go back to that stake you drove up when you got saved. And God reminds you again. He said, I loved you then, and I love you now. And I saved you then, and I've kept you to now. If you can't look at that, then you need to look at when you did get saved, because that's where it started. Not when you joined the church, not when you was in the Sunday school class, when you bowed your head under the message of the gospel of Christ, and you cried out as the Philippian jailer, as Paul cried to the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And then he said, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's table. And he said, many a weak and sickly among you, many sleep. For if he said, if we judge ourselves, he said, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, notice, he said, we're chastened. We're talking we. Paul included himself with the pronoun we. We're chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. Isn't it a wonderful thing, folks? You know what the Lord is telling, how much he loves us? If a person comes to the place who's been saved and takes communion and has sinned in their life, God says, that's taken unworthy. And the time will come, he said, I will chasten you. Not judge you like the devil, judging the devil, but chasten you as a father does a child. Why? He said that we should not be condemned with the world. Even in those who take communion wrong, God the Father says, I will chasten that person that you not be condemned with the world. Boy, isn't it a wonderful thing when you get saved to see what God has really done. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that you're dealing with a family? You're not dealing off and on, in and out, and wish I were and wish I won't. It's something that's permanently until we get home on the other side. So tonight we're here for the purpose of following our Lord's words as Paul confirms that 26 years later in what Jesus said in Matthew 26 here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, down a few verses, and that's what we'll do at this time. Would you bow your heads with us, please? The Bible teaches us that we do this in a way to be worthy, and that as we come to God and confess our sins, remember what he's done for you. Remember when you got saved, how light you fell, the load of sin was lifted. When sin's confessed in our lives down the pathway of life, it's like almost starting over again. Someone said, well, I haven't done a lot of sin. Oh, if you lived in this world, you were contaminated. This body is contaminated. Thank God for the blood of Christ. It cleanses us from sin. 1 John 1 says, if we confess, he's faithful and just. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's what we need to do as individuals. I need to do it as a pastor. I need to do it as an individual. I need to do it as a husband. I need to do it as a dad. I need to do it as a friend, because all of these things touch my life with people, and so do you this day if you fit into those categories. My Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the blessing of people that you have given us through the years. Thank you that we can worship you together. Thank you, Lord, we come like this, or the world's busy doing things in the world, and we come here for the purpose to zero in on what you told us to do, what our Savior told us to do. Lord, we want to do it worthily. And so I pray on behalf of the church, behalf of our people, as we pray together, see the sincerity of our heart tonight when we come to you and claim 1 John 1:9, that you're faithful and just to forgive us for sin when we confess our sins to you. That which we know, that which we may not know, and there's much we don't know, we want to be clean before you. And remember what it cost you. It cost God's Son. It cost Christ his life. It cost Christ separated from the Heavenly Father, which in ages past had never happened before. It cost the pain of Calvary. It cost the eternal, eternal death was exacted from our Lord and Savior that we might go free. It cost Jesus' Father to turn his back on his Son that we might be sons of God, to have God never turn his back on us. Yes, we remember that tonight, and we rejoice in that tonight as we come to you in obedience in this wonderful service, this ordinance you give us, called we refer to as communion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. He took the bread that night and he blessed it. You break it. Father, we come to you as we give praise to our Savior for what he did. He knew he was headed to Calvary. He gave us something symbolic to look at his body, broken, hit with the cat of nine tails, slapped, crucified, nails in his feet and his hands. The Bible teaches us he didn't even have the look of a man when they finished with him that day. Every lash was there for us. His body was broken. Tonight we come, dear Savior, and thank you for that as we remember what it cost us. Us nothing other than to trust you, and yet what it cost you for us to be called sons of God. Thank you for making yourself real to us in eyes of faith as we look into the precious Word of God and gives us the wonderful story of redemption through Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, thank you for living in us and helping us understand and putting together so we can really understand many things that are difficult for the world to understand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.